There's an old saying that I'm sure that most of you, if not all of you, have heard before, and it goes like this. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And that's a great saying. In many ways, that saying is true, because it's true. We really don't know what the future holds. We don't know what kind of difficulties we may have to face in the future. We don't know what kind of blessings might come our way in the future. Those always are wonderful surprises. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen to the U.S. economy next year. We don't know if the San Francisco Giants will ever win another World Series. There's a lot of things we don't know. But we know who holds the future. We believe that God is in charge. Ultimately, we know that we can trust in Him. But there is also a sense in which that statement is not true. There is a sense in which we actually do know the future. In the book of Revelation, which we have been studying now for several months, we have seen how Jesus Christ actually pulls back the curtain and He reveals to the Apostle John and ultimately to us something of what will happen in the future. He told John, write these things down, write down what you see, so that generations like us would be able to understand them. Now, some of the things, as we've seen in this book, are kind of terrifying. There's a lot of terrifying things that are going to happen in the future. But the future that awaits the follower of Jesus Christ is awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has the mind of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. So let me ask you, what is the most beautiful place you've ever been in your life? A place that almost knocked you over with its beauty. I'll tell you, it is a slum compared to what God has in store for us. What is the best, most fun, most enjoyable party you've ever been to in your life? I can tell you that it's a bore compared to what heaven will be for the child of God. What's the most intimate moment you've ever experienced in your life? So meaningful and significant. I can tell you that one split second in the presence of God, before the face of God, will be more meaningful than that. The Bible does not tell us a lot about heaven, but in Revelation chapters 21 and the first part of 22, the curtain is pulled back wide and we get a vision of what heaven is like that is unrivaled in the rest of the Bible. These chapters very simply answer the question, what will heaven be like? Wouldn't you like to know? Some people might wonder if that's a question we ought to even ask. And yet, whether we want to ask it or not, the fact of the matter is, human beings think about these things. Every human being on the face of the earth has wondered, what happens next? What happens after I die? And we think about that as naturally as we breathe. Over 75% of Americans believe in heaven. Even Woody Allen once said, I don't believe in the afterlife, but I'm bringing a change of underwear. Other people think, you know what, we shouldn't focus on heaven. We should focus on making a difference right now. But the fact is, how we think about heaven impacts the way we live in the present. Our future hope gives the present meaning and significance. If life is nothing more than sitting in a prison cell where we twitch and squirm until the silent executioner of death arrives, then really, what's the use? Why fight anything? Why even care? But remember, John was writing Revelation to Christians who were struggling to live out their faith in the hostile environment of the Roman Empire. Some faced execution if they didn't declare Caesar as Lord. And so many